Here's Brian and Bangor. Morning, Brian.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, this is it's a very sad result on the past week for Christmas here in Northern Ireland. We had the Ashes Bakery result. And I think the times that we're living in now are good. And as a result, as Christians, we're afraid to open our mouths up, take a stand for the gospel. Catriona Riad and the gay lesbian community, what they want, equality. Which they have their rights, but what future is it for us now as Christians? You try and live out your faith, show good works to people, preach the gospel in love, and as a result, being thrown back at you, getting abused, and being harassed. I mean, the same happened with the Lord Jesus when he hung on the cross. People hurled insults at him. You know, what future is it for us? I guess this is a terrible decision, and it shows that people are turning away from God's word. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. It says in 2 Timothy that all scripture, I mean the whole Bible, is God-breathed, given by inspiration of God for teaching, for correcting, for rebuking in righteousness.
Okay.
And it says in Romans 1 that people turned, I encourage people to read Romans 1, the latter part of it. It says that that people, God gave people up to their uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts.
Okay. Brian, thank you. David in Belfast. Morning, David.
Good morning, Stephen. Well, Katrina's absolutely correct in what she says there. I'm a gay man. I'm a Protestant. And let me tell you here, if it was a border poll tomorrow for this country to join the Irish Republic, I'd vote for a united Ireland. Make no doubt about it. Can I congratulate the people in the south of Ireland for being brave and doing what they're doing? I'm with my partner 26 years. And because of his ill health, I unfortunately can't leave Northern Ireland. At the end of the day, I love him. I want to marry him, and I want to have the same rights as anybody else. I think it's sad that we can't move on.
What's it mean to you not being able to get married here?
It says sad, Stephen, that somebody you love, you can't marry because of bigot views in this country. And it really is breaking people's heart that everywhere else has moved on. Northern Ireland's in the same place. It won't move on because of this bigot, arrogant attitude that we have in this country. Because if two men love each other, it doesn't mean the race is going to cave in. It is sad that gay people can't have exactly the same rights as everybody else. So, so sad. And only for Katrina and Sinn Féin, and I says as a Protestant, the gay community would be trampled in this country. It's Sinn Féin standing up for human rights, and I, 100% as a gay Protestant man, would vote. I vote Sinn Féin anyway, but I would vote for a united Ireland tomorrow, because if the DUP wants to have this bigot, arrogant attitude that they have towards gay people, it's really sick.
Well, they would say they're not bigoted. They would say it's not arrogant. They would say that
if I said to you,
they're protecting their religious views, is what they.
Well,
would
they can
say.
Help Christians. Have their views. There's no problem in Christians having their views, but they don't have to put that fuse down my throat. You understand? If I'm a gay man, which I am, and I want to marry someone I've been with for 26 years, why should I not be allowed to do that? Why should somebody within a government in Northern Ireland sit up there and say no, whenever the rest of the United Kingdom has moved forward, and the south of Ireland, may I say, what a modern New Ireland, this is mean. And as I said before, Stephen, I would join the south of Ireland tomorrow, or now even, if it was a border poll. As a Protestant, I'd vote for a united Ireland.
Well, let me let the Reverend David McElveen speak to you this morning, David.
Yes, good morning, David, and good morning, Stephen. Can I just say in a general sense that, you know, the vote in the Republic of Ireland was clearly anticipated, and the result did not come as a surprise to many observers. But I think to use the outcome as a leverage for the adaptation of same-sex marriage in Northern Ireland, it's not only acceptable, but I have to say to David and to others, it will be strongly resisted, not from the basis of some arrogant or aggressive presentation, but because we genuinely believe in what the Bible teaches. Now, you've said, and others have said, David, that this is moving Ireland into a mature or a modern society. But I think you understand from a biblical perspective that homosexuality is not a new thing. It is something that is revealed in the Bible. And we have to say in a very faithful and compassionate way that our authority is the Scriptures. And while I'm very happy to advocate democracy. There are so many wonderful principles.
The same scriptures that tell you to stone adulterers to death.
Well, you've got to keep this in mind, Stephen, and you've raised this before with other people, that what we see in those verses that you're referring to is man's inhumanity towards man.
But those would be the same scriptures which tell you that you should stone adulterers to death,
but
David.
But those same scriptures point us to the solution for sin in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, and that is the significant thing. And that is the thing that...
Surely the significant thing is, Reverend McElveen, that if you're saying that the Bible is gospel, then take every adulterer onto the streets and stone them to death.
No, that is not what the Bible teaches. That was during a dispensation when sin was dealt with in that
legal... Is it in the Bible?
Stephen, could I say something?
It's in the Bible, but it's pointing us to a better day when the Lord Jesus Christ would bear the punishment and the judgment of our sin upon the cross at Calvary.
But the point is, it's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible.
So you're picking and choosing the passages you like and you don't like.
That is not true, Stephen, because what it is, it's providing us with a platform to appreciate that when Jesus Christ came into the world, that he came into the world to fulfill the law, not to destroy the law, and that through him, men and women's lives can be wonderfully and gloriously
So why don't you follow the bit of the Bible that says stone adulterers to death?
Because that part of the Bible has been fulfilled in Christ. He is the one who has borne the judgment and borne the penalty of our sin upon his own body on the tree.
Go on, David, you want to speak?
It's a pity that the pre-Presbyterian Church didn't preach that to certain people's wives in the DUP whenever they were having affairs behind people's backs. At the end of the day, let me make it clear, that's your view. I've seen you and your flock standing in front of the City Hall when the gay pride is on. I've seen one of your throwing papers at people, shouting abuse at people,
You call it abuse, David, you would call it your democratic right to express your view. That's what Reverend McElveen would say.
Yes, that's right. I've been the subject of a physical attack as well. So, I mean,
the pre-peace, don't
we? We all sadly have to, you know, face reality. I condemn unreservedly any violence against any gay person, and I've been absolutely consistent with that down through the years.
David McElveen standing there a couple of years back, one of his flock actually ended up assaulting a gay man in front of the city.
Well, I'm sure the Reverend McElveen would not support that in any way, shape, or form. David, thank you. Ian and Newton Orange, morning, Ian.
Morning. I'd just like to say that I don't see the argument really against same-sex marriage. I mean, this doesn't discriminate or diminish straight rights, doesn't diminish religious rights. It's merely giving people of the gay community equality. And I think religious people here are confusing losing rights with losing privilege. They're losing privilege, but they're not losing their rights. They can still get married to whoever they want. Same for the LGBT community.
I think Ian's making, you know, a point that highlights, in my view, that there is a fundamental flaw in this whole debate, because the marriage that he and others have been advocating is so-called based upon equality. But the marriage that I believe in, and the Bible, I believe, teaches, is not based upon equality. It is based upon a complementary relationship between a man and a woman. And the idea to advocate gay marriage on the basis of equality is really a different type of marriage to what the Bible teaches. So therefore, I think there is a fundamental flaw in the arguments that many people are presenting at this time.
Well, earlier I spoke to Patrick Corrigan. Reverend McElveen, thank you very much. Morning to you. 08459 555 678. Let's say Patrick Corrigan has been speaking to me earlier from Amnesty International, Peter Linus from the Evangelical Alliance. I began by asking Patrick his views on Northern Ireland now being the only part of the UK and Ireland where same-sex couples are denied the right to marry.
Well, I mean, I think I've simply pointed out the obvious, that the reality now is that Northern Ireland is left as this anomalous region, the only region of either the UK or Ireland where same-sex couples are being denied the right to celebrate their love, the right to have a same-sex marriage. And I think that leaves Northern Ireland very out of step with the people right across these islands, and sadly leaves Northern Ireland as something of a discriminatory backwater for gay people. And I think that's really, really sad. It's not where most people in Northern Ireland want to be.
It's really, really strong language, and probably not a discriminatory backwater for gay people.
I think that's true. I mean, there are whole series of issues facing gay people in Northern Ireland that aren't faced elsewhere. But the most obvious one, and the one brought to light really through the referendum in the Republic yesterday, is that we're now the only place where same-sex couples can't get married. And indeed, the same-sex couple who have got married in England, Scotland, Wales, and soon in the Republic of Ireland, come to Northern Ireland, their marriage won't be recognised. They will not be recognised as a married couple. That's a dreadful state of affairs in this day and age. And really, it's up to our Northern Ireland executive, up to our politicians, to put that right and to get in step with the people. I mean, most people in Northern Ireland, according to the last major social attitudes study, the Northern Ireland Life and Times survey, it showed 59% of people in favour of same-sex marriage being put into law, 29% against, and the remainder undecided at this stage. So very much similar figures to that shown by the referendum in the Republic yesterday. If our politicians are out of step with our people, we're calling for them to get with public opinion, get with the people, and deliver equality for gay people. We saw the joy that swept across the Republic of Ireland, and I think was celebrated equally right across the world as people saw the celebrations and the votes come in as the votes were counted in the south. That sadly isn't the case in Northern Ireland, where the people sadly still facing the sort of discrimination by law, and I think it's time for it to change.
Peter Linus?
Well, as you say, Patrick, you use some very unfortunate language, and it's really not helpful in the debate. It's very disappointing when people add, I suppose, a lot more heat than light, discriminatory, backwater, the last bastion of discrimination. Of course, the problem is it's not true. So if we want to look technically, Jersey, Guernsey and the Isle of Man don't allow it. But actually, Northern Ireland is with 170 countries in the world, including the likes of Germany, Australia, Japan, Italy. So again, these are the places in which Northern Ireland sits as these bastions, apparently. So we're not the last one. We're with the majority of countries in the world. And Northern Ireland is not discriminatory in that point of view. There is no European Convention right to same-sex marriage. That's why our own Human Rights Commission hasn't taken a case. It's not a fundamental human right, and Patrick is well aware of that. And the final point is that Northern Ireland, he's made this point that this is what people want. He refers to the Northern Ireland Life and Times survey, and of course he does that because it asked a strange technical question. Do you think marriages between same-sex couples should be recognised by law? Well, the only kind of marriage you can have is if you've had it somewhere else. And then, yes, a majority of people supported that. But in the main polling that's been done, for example, in the Belfast Telegraph, 30% were against it. Only 27% were in favour, and most had no opinion. And there's a whole series of polls that show that the situation is much more mixed.
Do you at least concede, Peter, that there is a momentum now because of this referendum down south, which will mean people like you will have to fight even harder if you're to stop gay marriage in Northern Ireland?
I think the question will be asked again, as you know, so the poll turned from being more like a 75-25, all the predictions, to 62-38, so it's been much closer than predicted, given all the political parties down south supported, all the media, all the major companies. Despite that, still close to 40% of the population voted no. So Ireland's got its own questions and problems as to how it deals with that. I'm not undermining the vote, please be clear. It was absolutely a vote in favour. But there's a significant chunk of the population are asking questions. And we've had four votes up here in our own Stormont in Northern Ireland. All of those have been voted against same-sex marriage. There isn't a sort of large groundswell of opinion. And equality is a red herring here, because if we need to do anything, it's to improve civil partnership legislation, because there is no European human right here to same-sex marriage. That's why the Human Rights Commission haven't brought the challenge.
I mean, I think that Peter needs to, I suppose, explain why he thinks that same-sex couples, why gay people ought to be treated differentially, and why they ought to have lesser recognition in law for their relationship than opposite-sex couples. Certainly, the legislators right across the rest of the UK and in the Republic of Ireland don't see it like that. Northern Ireland is out of step. The world is changing, and we are behind the tide of history. And I think, unlike Peter, I think the best of people in Northern Ireland, I think that they want equality. I don't think they want their neighbours, their children, their brothers, their sisters, their cousins to be treated as a second-class
citizen. So, Patrick, would improving civil partnership legislation be the way to do that?
Civil partnership legislation, as you're well aware, provides for a lesser status than marriage, and I think that, you know, many gay people themselves want to have the
Why
right
don't we simply improve that legislation and have two different systems? That's what equality has to respect diversity, and that's a really important thing. And so we say, okay, there are different ways of forming a relationship, so why don't we change civil partnership legislation and have it the same? That was the intent when civil partnership legislation was brought through. As you know yourself, Stonewall and others opposed same-sex marriage. They called it a heteronormative concept in the early days. They've changed their minds, having supported civil partnerships, and the way it seems to be to ensure equality but respect diversity is to have different ways of recognizing different forms of relationships. Well, they are fundamentally different.
Is lesser. You want lesser recognition. I mean, the fact is that civil partnership...
Why does it have to be lesser, Patrick?
Well, it is less. Civil partnership is a...
Why don't we change it?
A lesser status. Well, I think if you ask gay people themselves, and most of them will say that they think they ought to have the right to get married, whether or not they wish to...
You know it's not a European Convention right, Patrick.
No, but I'm saying, if you ask gay people, do they think they should have the right? I think most of them would say yes. And
we're asking all of society.
A referendum in the Republic where everyone was asked, and a very clear majority come out and said yes.
What would you say?
Our children ought to be treated exactly as we are.
As you know, Patrick, as you both know, Peter and Patrick, I'm saying this more for the benefit of those who don't know. The leader of the Democratic Unionist Party is Peter Robinson, who is the First Minister of Northern Ireland as well. His party is vehemently against gay marriage, and they have a significant mandate from the people of Northern Ireland. What would you say to Peter Robinson, Patrick?
Do the right thing by all of the people of Northern Ireland. I think that the first responsibility of our government is to ensure that none of its people, that no citizens, are treated as second-class citizens. And I think at the moment, Northern Ireland, separate from all of the rest of the UK and Ireland, is treating its gay citizens as second-class citizens.
He would say he's entitled to protect the definition of marriage as he sees it and as people who support him see it, which is between a man and a woman.
Well, you know, he is entitled to do that, but what I'm saying is that it is the wrong thing to do, and that instead he should do the right thing, which is as
he gets to decide it's wrong,
elsewhere have acted, they have legislated for equality for all of their citizens.
Well, that's Patrick Corrigan speaking to me last night on the programme. 08459 555 678. Patrick Corrigan and Peter Linus, obviously, speaking to me on Five Live last night. 9:28 the time. John's in Newton Abbey. Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, John.
I would like to concur with a lot of the previous callers who were on supporting what the Bible teaches. And I would want to say that, you see, the LGBT lobby don't seem to be willing to accept things that they have changed and stolen from both the dictionary and the Bible. For example, marriage. They've stolen that term. They call it gay marriage. There's no such thing as gay marriage. That's a misnomer.
What do you mean stolen?
Well, gay. Where do you get gay marriage? Anywhere.
So what do you want two men who love each other to do, John?
Sorry. Two people who love each other of the opposite sex. For example, can I give you even an example?
But what do you want? The question, John, is what do you want two people of the same sex who love each other to do?
Well, the government has provided them with civil partnerships.
But they want to be married. What do you want them to do?
This is the point I'm trying to get at, Stephen. It's a misnomer to say they want to get married. They can't get married. It's impossible under what both the law states and what the Bible states. No such thing as gay marriage. The government in 1995 introduced civil partnership to provide them with the option of creating this relation, loving relationship.
And do you support civil partnerships?
Pardon?
Do you support civil partnerships?
No, but that's up to the gay people.
Why don't you support those either?
I'm a heterosexual. I don't need civil partnership. I'm married.
I'm not asking you, John, if you need one. I'm saying, why don't you support gay people being able to have them?
They can have civil partnership, yeah. They can have people. So I'm not objecting them to going applying the law that.
Why did you get married, by the way?
Sorry?
Why did you get married?
Because as I had the. I loved the person. I loved the person that I was going with. and I wanted to get married to her.
Well, why? Why not just live with her? Why marry her?
Well, if two people love each other, that's the next natural step to take.
All right.
Unless you want to live in sin.
All right. Natural, well, yes. natural step to take, John.
It's the scriptural step.
If two people love each other, it's the natural step to take.
Well, that's just God. Where does God come into this?
So what do you want a gay man or a gay woman to do if they love somebody? What's their natural step to take?
They can live with each other under civil partnership, legally, quite legally. Nobody's stopping them. But they don't want to accept that. They want to steal the word marriage and call it gay marriage, which is completely a misnomer. And also, can I say another thing even, Stephen? Can I give you a little example from the world of science? If you know anything about electromagnetism, there's a famous law there that says that like poles repel, all like poles attract. There's a case from even scientific law.
So, sorry, electromagnetism has got what to do with homosexuality?
I'm just saying there's a case in science called electromagnetism.
Right.
And if you put two magnets together, you know, a North Pole and a South Pole, if you put two North Poles together or two South Poles together, they repel. If you put a North Pole and a South Pole together, they attract. So that's completely outside the scripture. It's even a scientific phenomenon. And that's what happens when you try to put two people who are on equal poles, if you like, together. They don't attract, they repel. And the LGB lobby, I don't want to lose the argument that was on about the fact they're not willing to accept civil partnership. So there's a law provided for them. Why do they not apply it? But you can't have marriage then. They can't say, oh, no, we don't want civil partnership. We want gay marriage. Well, I'm sorry, you can't have gay marriage.
You can in England.
I know you can.
You can in Scotland.
You can, yes.
You can in Wales.
You can,
you
yes.
You can the Republic of Ireland.
Yes, so why do they not go there? Go there and get married. Nobody's stopping them. Free country.
Because maybe they want to get married where they live, where their home is, John.